The following interview was recorded for CFRO The Pulse, Vancouver Co-op Radio's daily news show. The Pulse airs Monday to Friday at 7 a.m. on 100.5 FM and streaming live at coopradio.org. Lisa Rupert is the VP of Housing and Violence Prevention for YWCA Vancouver. I spoke with her about the federal election and the major party platforms around the issues of violence against women and transitional housing. Hello, Lisa Rupert, and thank you for joining us here on Co-op Radio.
Hi, James. I'm pleased to be here.
So we're looking at the issues surrounding the federal election that's coming up next Monday, and one of the big ones that we still need to look at are issues surrounding violence in the home, women and children needing transitional housing, and of course that's why I've asked you here on the show today. So can we just start with a little outline from you, just maybe describe some of the situations in which women and children have to find transitional housing?
Absolutely. Violence against women is one of the main reasons across Canada for women and their children to be homeless or in precarious housing situations. We know that in BC alone, in 1 year, 10,800 women and children stayed in BC transition houses and second stage transition houses. They're leaving abusive partners. They have to leave their own home for safety. They can't continue to stay there if he's refusing to leave. And they often couldn't afford to stay there on their own if he did choose to leave. So they're put in this situation where they have to go somewhere else. The other problem is that single women have the family type with the lowest income in British Columbia, which means that once they've left, they're going to have a hard time finding long-term housing. It's really important that we have a lot of affordable housing, rent geared to income, and that we have a spectrum of housing for them. So first they would go to a first stage transition house or a safe house, and then to second stage, and then into that long-term affordable housing.
Can you describe a little further what sort of resources are available to women and children surrounding transitional housing? And is it at all adequate to meet the needs?
Yeah. So BC has different, in other parts of the country, they call them shelters, but in BC, we call them transition houses. In major centers, urban centers and cities, there are transition houses, which provide 30-day stays, absolutely free, food provided, and staffed round the clock to give support. And then in smaller communities, they have safe houses, which are houses that people can stay at and receive similar services. And then from there, many people we know, 30 days isn't enough. They need ongoing financial support and ongoing emotional support. There are so many things that a woman needs to do when they first leave their abuser, whether they have criminal court to attend to, family court, they may need to get on income assistance or take some sort of leave from their job. They're dealing with their children's loss of their home, possibly their school and friends. They may be dealing with where they're going to keep a family pet who can't come with them in many cases. Tons of things they have to deal with, and also finding another place to live. So back in 1979, YWCA Monroe House created the first second stage program across North America. It's here in Vancouver. And now there are many of them across the country, and they provide a longer term stay. Typically, you can stay for up to 2 years, and staff are not there around the clock, but typically Monday to Friday to provide support. And it's you do pay rent there, but at a very affordable rent geared to income rate. And then that provides a nice transition till you're ready to move out completely on your own and don't need supports anymore. But this is where the system breaks down. If you get into a first stage transition house, and in Vancouver, for example, they're full. You may have to phone different ones and leave your community. May take you a while to get in. And then second stage transition houses, because women are staying up to 2 years, they have wait lists as well, and you may not get into one. And then for long-term affordable housing, of course, the wait lists for those are terribly long. It's very hard. So the problem is, if women don't have the supports they need, especially the financial supports and housing, they may end up being financially forced to go back to their abusive partner.
Are there resources available to help women to transition while they're waiting for a second stage home to open up, or are they basically on their own?
There are emotional supports, of course. There are outreach programs, and many first stage transition houses continue to provide support even after people have left. I find a lot of the first stage houses are also extending their stays because they know what an impossible situation women and children are in. And then BC Housing has also given a lot of nonprofits portable housing subsidies so that women can find market housing, and then we give them a subsidy for roughly a year, but it can often be extended. There are some things in place, but it's not ideal, and a lot of women still fall through the cracks.
Why is the income low? Why can't women and women and their children afford market housing?
Housing in Vancouver, really, at this point, you need to have a dual income to afford it. And so if you're a woman living on a single income, you're already at a disadvantage. But when many women who are fleeing an abusive partner in the beginning will be on income assistance. The shelter rate on income assistance for anybody with one child is $570 a month. And whereas an average two-bedroom apartment in Hastings Sunrise, for example, is $1,925 a month. Even using all of her child tax benefit, she isn't going to be able to afford it. It's critical that we're able to provide women with rent geared to income housing, not just so that they can afford their housing, but so that if they are not having to put every single penny into the housing, they can afford adequate food, they can afford school supplies, their children can live at an average standard of living.
Your mention of wait times leads me to suspect I know what the answer is going to be to this next question, but are the resources available? Are they adequate to meet the needs?
No, we definitely need more. One of the positive things is that BC Housing has committed a lot of money to new transition houses across the province. It's just going to take time to build them. We actually received funding from the Women's Transition Housing Fund to build long-term women-only housing in Burnaby, but it's in the early stages. It's not going to be done for a few years. There are currently 91 first-stage transition houses and safe homes across the province, funded by the Women's Transition Housing and Supports Program at BC Housing, and 40 second-stage transition houses. We need more of them and also more rent-geared to income housing so that women can move on from first and second stage into long-term housing, making room for other women who are just leaving abusive situations.
What do you think accounts for the insufficient resources available? Is it just simply a matter of governments not having the money or not wanting to spend the money?
From the 1990s on, the federal government wasn't contributing to subsidized housing across the country, and that was the main source of the problem.
So looking now at the current federal election, what is your assessment of any or all of the political parties? Are they at least looking at the issue, talking about it? Are they offering to address it in any way?
They are, and they have been since the last federal election. I mean, since 2018. So the problem is that in the 1990s, the federal government stopped funding affordable housing across the country and left it to the provinces, who didn't have the resources to do it alone. In 2018, the federal government signed a contract with the BC provincial government for a 10-year housing agreement to invest more than $990 million to renew and expand social and community housing. And I think that was important. We need to do more. And I am encouraged that all parties recognize that housing is important. It's a key issue. What I wanted to see in every single platform is a commitment to funding deeply affordable, rent-geared to income, long-term housing for women specifically, and to fund existing transition houses and new transition houses. So what we did see from the parties is the Conservative platform proposes to build 1 million homes in 3 years, but they don't specify what kind of housing. They don't mention whether there'll be any increased housing for women or for transition houses. They do say, however, that they're going to partner with transition houses for career training and expand the Canada Child Benefit by $500 per month for women living in women's shelters or transition houses, as we call them in BC. So what I would have liked to have seen there is for them to specify the kind of housing and specify increased transitional housing funding. The Liberals' platform promises to build, preserve, or repair 1.4 million homes in 4 years, and they do include women's housing specifically. And they say they'll increase funding to CMHC's National Housing Co-Investment Fund in the amount of $2.7 billion over 4 years. And that would fund nonprofits to build affordable housing, including projects for vulnerable groups such as women. So they do say women specifically. That was encouraging. The NDP platform promises to spend $14 billion on 500,000 affordable housing units in the next decade, and they've promised something called Fast Start Funds for co-op and nonprofit social housing. They do specifically promise to provide more funding for shelters and programs, especially in underserved areas across the country. And one thing also, they promise to provide more stable funding for women's organizations, which is important as many of these organizations like the YWCA, are also housing providers for women fleeing violence.
So in your opinion, are any of the parties offering anything that's adequate? Or are they all coming a bit short? Or how do you see things?
I would have liked to see a little bit more from all of them. Yeah. I think we really need to, if we want to end violence against women, the first step is providing women with the ability to leave. And that straight up means housing.
In case we end up with another minority government after next week, do you figure that that might help the situation at all? If we, if the Liberals have to rely on the NDP support, do you think that might benefit women and kids?
I think that when it comes to funding housing, everybody, every party recognizes it has to happen. It's just if they have the willpower to actually commit the dollars to it. And it's going to remain to be seen whether that happens or not, whether it's a majority or a minority party.
What other issues surrounding women and children that you would like to have seen more of during the election?
So to make sure women and children can live violence-free, my top three concerns are, of course, housing that we've talked about, and establishing a really fulsome national action plan to end gender-based violence, and then creating a universal $10 a day childcare across the country. For women to be able to move forward in their lives, they need childcare so that they can work.
I know, I think the Liberals were talking about the $10 a day childcare, and then Mr. Trudeau decided to call an election, so now it's a campaign promise again. How hopeful were you before the election, and how hopeful do you think you are that maybe after the election they'll actually finally follow through and implement the plan?
I think the plan will likely be implemented. I think not just the federal parties, but the provincial government of BC also seems really committed to it. I think it's going to happen, of course, depending on who gets elected.
I know a plan to end gender-based violence can't be anything but good, but I do wonder, I'm not sure I understand what sort of a role government could play in something like that. How do you see it happening?
So I think one of the problems historically has been that gender-based violence hasn't been looked at in a holistic way. We're looking at all the little pieces, but we're not saying, here's our plan to get to a society where violence doesn't happen. So we need to look at all the different elements, whether it's our criminal court system, our family court system, and things like transition houses. There are all sorts of pieces that need to be in place and working together. And I think having an actual national plan, just like you need a housing strategy, you don't just sort of willy-nilly build a little bit of housing here, a little bit of this type of housing over there. You have to attack it as a whole, right?
Well, it's been great to have a chance to speak with you, Lisa. Thanks very much for joining us here on The Pulse on Co-op Radio.
My pleasure.
That was Lisa Rupert, VP of Housing and Violence Prevention for YWCA Vancouver. CFRO The Pulse is brought to you by the Local Journalism Initiative, a program funded by Heritage Canada and administered through the Community Radio Fund of Canada.